Dear listeners, this podcast is created by the Linguistov team.
If you want to practice and improve your English in a fun and creative way, please visit our website www.linguistov.ru.
And if you want to share your opinion and ideas regarding our discussions, you can email us at info@linguistov.ru.
Microphone that I have here.
I think you sound perfect.
Do I?
Yeah.
I reckon that that's a kind of a professional equipment, so it is supposed to sound perfect.
Yeah, it's really
fantastic. At first I thought it wasn't you.
Not me.
It sounds so
loud.
Oh,
professional. Sound loud and clear.
And it looks quite impressive. You will come and see it anyway. But yeah, it looks quite like I'm in a studio, like in a proper studio. You know, like they show people who do this all podcasting. They're not like us, you know, sitting at home in front of laptops.
But they started like us, I guess.
Well, probably, yeah. So I think it's quite a natural development of our podcasting practice. So right now I feel like a proper podcaster or really like a DJ somewhere on the radio.
What's the name of that British podcast, the one that you liked?
It used to be named Heartbeat FM.
Yeah, Heartbeat FM. Yeah, now we're going to be Heartbeat and Wisdom. And you told that they also were located in different places. Yeah, one of them was in New York.
Oh no, it's a different one.
Oh, that's a different one. Oh.
Yeah, the one that you are talking about is the Bugle.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's legendary, the Bugle. And they are located in different places. So one in New York and the second one in London. They are professionals, so they really do sit in studios, not like us. But they do it for the sake of quality, audio quality. Yeah, because ours really sucks sometimes, the quality of the recordings. Yeah, but I guess it's a part of our charm.
A sunburn at last. These few days I had worked at our dacha, at our banya, how do you call it. I had to again work with my hands, with a shovel, to flatten the square of earth. And now my forearms and the upper part of my back are sunburned.
Okay.
I'm good.
You are. Well, I noticed it today. You're quite fine.
I'm quite fine. I'm quite happy. Living a very lazy life in a very beautiful city and enjoying very beautiful weather.
A few days ago, I exhausted my drinking capacity. I had a birthday feast.
So yes, what did you do?
In Petrozavodsk, I thought I would make it one night and one day, but it turned out 3 nights and 2 days.
Oh, wow. So now my question is not... So what did you drink anyway?
Well, we started with beer, of course. And then it was mead, what do you call it? Beer with honey. And then there were some cocktails, and I don't know what they contained. They looked pretty, yes, and they were shots. There was tequila, drunk correctly, with salt and a piece of lemon. And there was so-called extreme action, extreme service they do at Killfish Bar. It looks like that. My friends and I, we stand at the bar. We order that extreme service. The bartender clears some space. He puts a high glass of something pink, some cocktail maybe. And then he places a spherical cognac glass over the first one. I don't know what was inside of it, but it burned when he set it alight. He did it four times, and all four times I had to breathe in the smoke that gathered in that spherical glass. After that, tears already were streaming down my cheeks. And then everything goes very fast. The second bartender puts a cask on my head. The first the first mixes the two beverages and strikes on the cask. Yes, quite hard. There was much foam, and the whole bar seemed to shout, "Drink it, drink it, drink it, to the bottom, to the bottom." It was very loud, and that I did. Then again, I had to breathe in some smoke, and as a tipping point of it, the second bartender struck me on the cask with a bat.
Is that it?
Yes, that was enough. The only thing that disappointed me was the last strike with the bat, because I expected it to be harder, but it was unforceful. And after all that, after the bar, we returned home and drank a rice vodka.
Oh, goodness, wasn't it enough already?
No, it wasn't. In addition to that, it was interesting because it wasn't simple vodka. It was fast rice vodka.
So what's the difference between simple vodka and rice vodka? Is there any difference?
Rice vodka is 55 degrees.
And the regular vodka is 40 degrees.
Uh-huh. Regular vodka is made of wheat. And the rice is of rice.
Oh,
but mostly,
is there any taste difference? Or is it...
No, absolutely not.
Does it have the same taste?
I always miss the flavor of vodka because I consume it too fast in order not to feel it. But the most interesting part of it is that in the bottle of this rice vodka was a scorpion, a dead scorpion, and very large one at that.
Did you eat it? After being drunk on beer, meat, and vodka, you probably wanted to eat it, no?
I suppose that scorpion gave a very special smell to that vodka. It smelled like a marsh, but the flavor was the same.
So did your friends give you any presents?
Of course they did.
Was this the present?
This is a very advanced computer mouse. It is tailored for gaming. I'm not much of a gamer, but we sometimes gather to play shooters. So this mouse will make me a champion of my company, I presume. And the second gift was an addition to that computer mouse, a computer mouse rug, and a bottle of wine.
So, do we have an introduction? We don't?
No. We don't, we don't.
Okay, so to hell with introduction. Don't need an introduction. No. Let's move on to the news then.
Yeah, see, it's always like that. Oh, to hell with introduction this time. Uh-huh.
When you guys tell that you don't have an introduction, because I'm afraid that the next... Let's introduce. Let Asya introduce us.
Let's have Asya introduce us.
No, let Asya introduce us.
Of course we will let you.
Yeah, because she's willing to introduce us. I understand that you want it so badly, but if it is the case, so please introduce us.
No. Okay. May I start with myself?
Everything. For you.
She is the owner of the most unusual dog in the world, the one which is going to solve the case of a lost sausage. She's Asya.
Woo!
She is the one responsible for stealing the sausage.
She's not the spoiler.
Oh yeah, no spoilers.
Well, I'm using my imagination, I have no idea what's going to happen in your short story. So, okay, and he is the one who partied so much that he doesn't even remember what sausages we are talking about. This is Daniel.
Next month, the world is expecting G20, the forum where the ministers for finances of 20 largest economies gather annually to discuss global economic issues. In the framework of this forum, heads of state visit the host country to have bilateral talks with one another. This year, G20 will take place in St. Petersburg, Russia. The United States President Barack Obama was planning to have a chat with Vladimir Putin, but now it is known that he will refuse to hold talks with him because of a row over granting asylum to Edward Snowden. This row plunged the relationships between Russia and the United States into one of its chillest phases since the end of the Cold War. In a statement, the White House said that it had concluded there was not enough recent progress in our bilateral agenda to hold these talks. It cited a lack of progress on arms control, trade, missile defense, and human rights, and added that Russia's disappointing decisions to grant Edward Snowden temporary asylum was also a factor that we considered in assessing the current state of our bilateral relationship. This case of Edward Snowden is starting to affect seriously our relations with the United States. It is interesting, so many countries in Latin America, they dreamed about Edward Snowden coming to them to show the world how independent they are from the United States. But Russia said, fuck you, and itself gave asylum to the same legendary man.
Do you think that he's going to stay in Russia? So you think that it's that's it for him? So there is no way out? He's just going to stay in Russia?
No, it's just for 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
Not a permanent asylum.
Yeah,
he can prolong his status.
Yeah,
once the year is over.
As far as I know, there is no second temporary asylum. At the end of the year in Russia, he will have to decide either to move on or to stay in Russia permanently.
I don't know. I feel kind of sorry for him.
Why? Do you consider living in Russia so bad?
No. It's not because of living in Russia. No. It's because he doesn't really have a choice.
He's not very much willing to come back to his homeland.
I think it's quite romantic to not be able. It reminds me of Remarque's novels. I think it's romantic.
Maybe now he's having an adventure, a travel through Russia, as we wanted.
As we want.
As we want, as we still want, of course. Maybe at some moment we will meet him.
And where does he find...
Maybe we will give him a lift.
True. Okay.
Where does he find the means to live for the whole month in Sheremetyevo and then to... I'm sure he doesn't work now, so...
Maybe he had some sponsors.
Oh, yeah, people like him have their sponsors. Julian Assange, the founder of WikiLeaks, he too doesn't work anywhere officially. And I envy these two.
For some time he lived somewhere, where was it, in consulate? It was not in the airport, yeah? somewhere else, some kind of a consulate, yeah?
Yes, it was the embassy.
Oh, the embassy. Ecuador, yeah, correct.
In England. Yes. Yes, he's still there. He's actually still there.
He's still there?
I wouldn't refuse to leave a couple of years.
In an embassy in London?
Provided I'm not hunted
by
some government.
You just sit there?
Yes, he cannot go out. He doesn't need to get out. His vocation is the internet.
But
and
what about
some
physical activities?
Well, I suppose...
Some fresh air.
Every embassy has a gym and windows.
But that's boring. It's like a prison.
This is his destiny.
Well, that's boring, isn't that?
I perfectly understand him. For us, it is not boring.
It's just about the possibility, the opportunity to do what you want. When you have this opportunity, you don't really do that.
Mm-hmm.
But when you don't, then this becomes your number one priority.
Maybe he ascends to the roof from time to time and mocks whoever is there to mock.
A 10-year-old German boy has found what appears to be a mummy hidden in the corner of his grandmother's attic.
What? What? A mummy?
A mummy, yes.
He found his mummy.
Not his mummy. A mummy, an Egyptian mummy.
Yeah, I understand. How come the mummy is in the attic?
Hang on. I will read the news. So the mummy was inside a sarcophagus, complete with hieroglyphic adornments packed in a wooden crate. But it is unclear whether the bandaged item found by Alexander Kettler in Diepholz, northern Germany, is a genuine relic from ancient Egypt. Alexander's father, Lutz Wolfgang Kettler, a dentist, said he had not yet x-rayed the mysterious find. Instead, he plans to load it into his car and drive it to Berlin to be examined by experts. Mr. Kettler said he had little doubt that the sarcophagus, as well as a death mask and canopic jar used by ancient Egyptians to store removed organs found nearby, were replicas. However, he believes that the mummy may be real. The dentist's late father traveled to North Africa in the 1950s. At that time, there was still a trade in genuine mummies. And there was a trend for mummy unwrapping. Hang on, it's just so too funny for me. Hang on. There was a trend for mummy unwrapping parties in the 1950s, he said. And asked if the mummy smelled bad. Mr. Kettler said no. It has lain undisturbed in the attic for at least 40 years, he said. I mean, unwrapping parties. That's unusual.
Yeah, this is how they birthday party.
Yeah, so imagine if you were in North Africa in 1950s, you wouldn't be drinking. Someone would present you a mummy and you'd spend the whole day unwrapping it. I mean, so much fun in it.
Are there so many mummies so scientists can behave themselves? So, with some of them?
Well, probably there used to be quite a lot of them, they say. Because they had a trade. They traded mummies. So I think that there were quite a lot of those mummies lying around in Egypt.
Well, I suppose I will start to save up money.
For a mummy?
For a mummy party?
We have to have a mummy party.
Mummy party.
Unwrapping a mummy. I mean, what do you expect when you unwrap a mummy? There has to be like some kind of a punchline. What's the purpose of unwrapping a mummy?
Maybe hoping to find
some
rings.
Oh yeah, maybe. That's yeah.
Some gold.
Mm-hmm. Stored inside a mummy.
Yeah.
They do not store anything inside a mummy.
How do you know?
They store things inside a sarcophagus and inside the tomb, but not inside the mummy.
Nobody really checks.
No, it has already been checked not one time.
It's rechecked.
Maybe they hoped that this time someone stored some gold. Yeah.
They take everything from a mummy. You know, these organs. Do you know how they take out their brains?
Go ahead, explain.
They melt to metal straws until they're red, and then they put it into the nostrils.
Oh, goodness.
Yes, they push it until they're inside head, and they start to spin it. The brains, well, I suppose they melt, and they roll.
Yes,
and then they take out the rolled brains.
Oh, I didn't have to know about it.
I thought you had watched the movie Mummy.
I didn't.
That lesson I took from that movie.
Right. Educational film.
Educational.
Well, I think that I missed so much in this life.
Not surprising if it's BBC produced.
Probably, yeah. No, well, we have to teach them about the taking out the brains.
And now, to take the brains out.
In today's lesson, we are learning how to take the brains out.
Thank you for watching my YouTube video.
Ha ha ha!
That movie could well be a BBC one, because the main characters are British.
Yeah, that's the sign of a BBC film.
And they speak with a lovely British accent. You should watch it.
Yeah, that's usually the top requirement of mine towards the film.
Oh, really? I thought it was Scottish, no?
Scottish?
Yeah,
Scottish, but it's so rare when you have...
You don't even hope.
Oh, no.
Oh, I wonder what happens to you when you hear the Scottish accent.
Oh.
Jumping with joy.
Yes, yeah. No, but usually, yeah, first jumping with joy, but then you have to make everything silent, have to force everyone to be silent in order to enjoy the Scottish accent.
It is all right for a man to have a sinewy chest, but growing breasts instead of muscles is something to worry about.
Whoa.
Previously, gynecomastia, male breastedness, was considered a genetic anomaly. Recently, it has been proven that a man can develop it. The reason of gynecomastia is rifles. Male men in the German army have long ago begun to complain about it, but only a year ago their pleas were heard. German scientists studied cases of gynecomastia and concluded that a possible explanation is the mechanical impact of the rifle against the left or right side of the body during the drills that these soldiers regularly perform. Consequently, right-handers had their left breasts enlarged and left-handers they're right. I suppose it's a great pacifist research. It's a sufficient reason not to ever handle rifles.
I always remember that, where was it, in Fight Club?
Right? That's what I was going to say.
Yeah,
I was sitting and I was trying to remember the name of that, that guy with breasts.
I
was just checking Wikipedia because I was going to tell about that.
So what's his name?
I can't
Bob
watch
something.
It. I'm
Bob
looking.
Something.
Bob something, yeah.
Bob something, yeah. It's the first thing that, the first image that comes to mind when you speak about male breasts.
Because I rewatched the film quite recently,
uh-huh.
And I maybe like 6 months ago, and I remember him very well. So I was just checking his name. Bob something.
He had a genetic anomaly, absolutely. Because I watched the pictures of men who suffer from that, and
mm-hmm.
This is abominable, unfortunately. But in some cases, it can be developed. Well, it's a great news that this danger comes from rifles. Because if all the men throughout the world get to know that rifles can effeminate them,
mm-hmm.
Maybe the global war will be over.
They have to pay... You know, they make this... how do you call it? A text on cigarette packs that you can develop cancer or whatever when you smoke cigarettes. They have to have the same thing on the rifles, that you can develop breasts.
Danger, possible breast growth.
I wonder whether this thing will prevent all world conflicts, or whether scientists design something.
What if there are guys who want to change their sex?
Mm-hmm.
Will they start? Will they get more interested in rifles? it can develop my breasts.
Yeah, no, without surgery.
I don't have to pay so much money.
I want to go to the army. Yes, but it is dreadful to think about what will happen to a guy like that in the army.
Oh, he may be secretly wanting to have breasts. He doesn't have to inform everybody about that.
Oh.
A hidden breast wanter. I'm speaking such a rubbish.
That's a perfect plan.
Yes, well, Ryan, if you're listening to us now,
you can stop listening. We give you permission, so. It's all right. We won't be angry. We will understand.
It's otherwise. He wants rubbish from us. He said so.
Yeah, I remember. That's what I thought. Maybe we can please Ryan a bit.
I think it's already like too much, I think.
Too much even for Ryan.
So in 2 years, I will go to the army, and if I return with enlarged breasts,
please... will you still love me? Yes.
Please do not exile me.
No, we won't. Yeah.
We'll pretend that nothing changed.
No. You'll be a bit special, but it's okay.
You'll get a bra for your birthday.
Will you help me choose one?
Well, of course.
Yeah, we will give you some useful tips.
Yeah.
It will be easier to make presents for you.
As a woman, yes.
Can't wait to go to the army.
A Russian man faces up to 2 years in prison for stealing an entire road. The man, a 40-year-old resident of Syktyvkar, admitted having stolen 82 reinforced concrete slabs that make up the roughly 1 mile road.
Why did he admit it? Okay, I can understand why he stole it, but why did he admit it?
I think that he had no choice, I guess.
He couldn't leave it that.
He couldn't sleep.
Yes, I did. Yes, I stole it. But anyway, so police uncovered the highway robbery when they pulled over a convoy of three heavy trucks carrying the slabs, which they said had been removed with a manipulator. The Interior Ministry valued the slabs at 200,000 rubles, or about $6,095. While it's unusual for an entire road to vanish, Russia's recent history is filled with the thefts of other infrastructure, especially bridges, which are valued for their metal. Most recently, a bridge over the Nozma River in the village of Fralova, northwest of Vologda, was stolen in June with a trail of tractor tracks leading to the culprit's home, the ministry reported. The man, who authorities said painstakingly dismantled the bridge with a welding torch, could also face up to 2 years in prison. Well, that's
very,
it.
Very random.
What is random?
The man.
The man.
The story.
I could never understand this random. Can you explain it to me? Because for me, random is something different.
Random is like very unusual.
Oh, okay. Because random, you know.
No logic, like, I know what random is in the dictionary, but I picked this word in Georgia, and they say it when something seems to be without any logic at all, they just say, oh, very random.
Because it sounds weird.
That makes sense.
Yeah, it's just a habit of mine.
It's one of... what's the second word? Was
redonkulous?
Redonkulous?
Oh, that's actually the word that my friend forgot the word.
Another one from your Americanisms. Redonkulous. Sounds very American.
Redonkulous. Well, something which is ridiculous and looks like a donkey.
Yeah. there's probably many things like that.
Everything is ridiculous.
Everything is ridiculous, yeah. The case of the lost sausage, part 2. The night was filled with the monotonous sound of drizzle. Lola hated it. She had found out that there were different types of rain, and each type had its character. This one she'd call irritating scumbag of a rain. As they approached the crime scene, the sound of sirens, agitated human talk, and general distress were added to the annoyance of the night drizzle, as if it hadn't been enough already. Asa Vilden, P.I., Asa said to the policeman guarding the yellow tape. Lola, P.I. It always bugged Asa that it was Lola they saluted to and showed their acknowledgement and appreciation to. I also play some part in all this, thought Asya, feeling pangs of injustice. Asya, cautious not from Detective James Cooper, Lola, and he gave the dog a sort of salute you reserve for the president, noted Asya. We have a situation here. This much I guessed, Detective, Asya said, moving with Lola towards the entrance of the building, accompanied by Cooper. Have you summoned all New York police force to this godforsaken place? You see, I kind of had to. Hang on, she had just noticed where she actually was. Isn't it? Lola looked warily at her. She had known it from the very beginning. New York mayor, or shall I say ex-mayor, or actually what's left of him, was lying on the bed in the middle of an overly furnished room. The stench of the place was nauseating. The bed linen hadn't been in its cleanest self even before the whole thing went terribly wrong. But that's sort of expected from the dodgy motel that provided them. Rats, rats' poison, rats' excrements, anything a rat can leave behind. But to everyone present, the fact that New York mayor could have been found in this motel room out of all possible locations did not come as a shock, as it wouldn't to anyone within the city borders. He had been both charming and destructive in his bonhomie, a perfect puppet for bigger puppeteers. And he definitely had had his vices. One of them was frequenting the local brothels or meeting their usual inhabitants in similar to the stinking motel places. This visit had proven to be his last. What sort of beast could shred him like that? Asya wondered. A big one, I presume, said Detective. Or it might have been a chainsaw. But that they should have heard below in the reception. Lola was already at work, Asya saw, sniffing and observing, taking mental notes. We want post-mortem, Asya said after Lola communicated her thoughts in that inexplicable manner with which they talked to one another. There's hardly anything left to examine, Asya, Detective Cooper noticed. Asya looked at Lola, checking if she understood her right. Yes, we do want post-mortem, she said finally and added. We want an especially thorough examination of his stomach, Detective. Lola turned her gaze from her friend to the untouched meal that had been brought to the room by room service before the murder. There stood an unopened bottle of wine and two plates with what had to be Italian sausage with peppers. The plates were untouched and identical, save for one thing, whereas one plate had two sausages, the other plate had one. To be continued.
Ah, so where did the second sausage go?
Yeah, so that's a question for now.
Do you already know, or?
No, I have no idea. I came home. I came here, and I had to write this the second part.
You hadn't even started yet.
I haven't even started guessing. Just I had to incorporate the part with the sausage somehow into the story.
That's what I love about writing, when you have no idea what's going to happen.
No.
It's like you're watching a film or you're reading a book.
And I thought maybe I should maybe leave the story for next week, but Asya said no. How could you have come to St. Petersburg without part two of the case of the
lost? How dared you?
Yeah, so I decided that probably I should write it. So.
Of course, Lola was waiting for the part two.
Yeah, I thought so.
She's sitting by my side, listening to the story and thinking about sausages.
Does she know any other tricks apart from catching the sausage?
No.
Good
dog. It took us a long time to learn this trick.
So you probably have to be grateful for just this.
Yeah.
It's like me with my August. Yeah. He only knows how to give his paw.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's it. He doesn't
just ask August, can you please give your paw, and he gives you his paw.
Yeah. You first of all, you have to.
Or do you just take his paw?
No. Well, yeah, sometimes I do. But I think that every cat can do that. But mine.
What if he's not in the mood? Like, he just doesn't want to.
No, he wouldn't give you his paw.
If he's not in the mood.
He's not in the mood. But if he's in the mood, he can give his paw
voluntarily. Two paws.
No, just one. Just one. The second one. He knows that he has to give the right one. Because
I wonder, people can be right-handed or left-handed, yeah? And we know it from
the fact that we write.
The fact that we write with a right or left hand or like, eat. But what about animals? Do they actually have this kind of thing? I mean, is it possible to check whether the dog is right pawed or left pawed?
Left pawed. Well, I don't know. You have to force your
But I mean, is it does it actually exist? This kind of it's all about the brain structure, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The part of the brain which is more active.
Yeah.
And the response.
So I guess I guess it's quite possible.
So that's... which paw does August give you?
Only right one.
So he's the right.
He refuses to give the left one.
So he's the right pawed cat then.
Yeah, he's a right pawed cat.
The Dexter cat.
So anyway, but yeah, but I always thought that he didn't give the left paw because, you know, when you meet a person, when you want
so it's more polite to give the right paw.
Yeah, I guess because you don't give the left hand if you want to shake somebody's hand. It's quite natural that you give the right hand, yeah?
If you are right-handed, but if you're left-handed, I think you give the left hand.
But what if the person you're going to shake your hand with is not left-handed, and he would give you the right hand?
Well, that's his problem.
I agree. Yeah.
There is a funny thing about our dog concerning commands. He's quite prone at performing some of them. Sit, lie, bark, and of course, would you please give me a paw?
Mm-hmm.
But when you do it without any delicacies, without any treats, he does it quite reluctantly.
Oh.
But if you have a treat in your hand,
he's very willingly.
He performs everything without a direct command. He lies, he stands, he barks, he gives one paw, he gives another paw.
So he's ready. Everything that he knows.
Just give me that.
That's what I like dogs for.
Because my August, he takes it for granted that we just give him treats. For nothing, actually, for just his existence.
Would you like a grilled salmon, blah, blah, blah?
Yeah, you remember the doodle.
Of course I do. That's my favorite one. I'll think about it.
Think about it. I will inform you when I'm in the mood. I don't know. I already miss him.
Do you want to call him?
I think I will after the recording.
Hi, August. How are you, baby?
he wouldn't even pick up the phone. If he was able to answer the phone, he wouldn't pick up if he knew that I was calling. Oh, this one again. Hasn't she just left? Hasn't we got rid of her already? Something like that. I think that's the kind of thoughts that run through his mind.
I was hoping I wouldn't hear of her again.
Because every time that I come back, he gives me that kind of look, you know, like...
Yeah.
So that...
You.
Again.
You again.
So. I thought you wouldn't make it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I was hoping. See, you still love him. That's called unconditional love.
On my part.
On your part, of course. His love from his part has still to be questioned.
Yes.
Are female cats more affectionate?
I don't know. I've never had a female cat.
But you do have some in your neighborhood.
Yeah, a lot of cats in my neighborhood.
The really ones you...
Generally, these pictures with cats that look at you derogatorily or mockingly, they are the pictures of tomcats. She cats are more mild, more affectionate.
Next time, I will have a female cat.
How are we going to christen it?
I don't know. I haven't.
I love this word, christen.
Christen.
The synonym of name.
Mm-hmm.
Baptize.
Yeah, why not?
I suppose the cat will be against baptizing.
Just push it somewhere in the water.
This is why cats are not religious.
Exactly, yeah. So,
how would you name it if you had a cat?
I don't know.
Josephine.
Josephine. It's not bad.
I want to have a long name, possibly.
It's not practical. It's not practical to have a.
But it's it shows the stages, like Josefina Petrovna. Are you hungry? Do you like something to eat?
It's like we call our August. His full name is Augustus. Yeah, it's Latin. He's a Roman emperor, and August. Or used. It all depends on your imagination.
I do want to have a she-cat, and I'm going to name her Adelaide.
Oh,
it's a beautiful name, yeah?
Yeah.
It's quite difficult to pronounce it. You have to have a shortened version.
Delhi?
It's like a Delhi, you know?
Delhi.
the capital of India, yeah.
Oh, yes, and delicacies. Oh, whatever. How do you call it?
What comes to your mind? Delicacy.
Delicacy.
Delicatessen.
Delicatessen. Because they have... I used to work in a deli in the United States. It's a sort of an established... It's not... how do you call it? A spot where you make... not burgers, but sandwiches. It's called deli. So it would be, yeah, quite an ambiguous...
Quite a tasty name.
Deli.
The time you pronounce it, your mouth with water.
I like this name, deli. Yeah.
Deli. Come here, Delhi.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There is a city or a town in Australia which is called Adelaide.
Oh.
Yeah.
This was the first time when I saw that name on the map.
Mm-hmm.
I like extremely short names as well, like Oh.
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 I heard somewhere there was a cat, a three-legged cat, and they called her Tripod.
Tripod.
It is cruel. Maybe he had one eye to shoot.
Maybe. No? Oh, that's a
laser.
Poor cat.
Yeah. She was a fan of Gilbert Wells.
You used to have a cat. What was the name of a cat?
Alice.
Alice.
Alice in Wonderland. Yep.
I thought I heard Elvis.
Elvis is also nice. Great.
Elvis
is also from In Wonderland, yeah.
Yeah, he definitely is.
The male cat that I had was Roman.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Also a Roman name. You have the tendency to name your cats after Romans in imagination.
That's
the kind of thing we do.
We need to see whether we have some... Roman
ancestors,
yeah.
Okay, so anyway, thank you for the conversation. I think that next time that we record a podcast, it's going to be three of us.
Yeah, it's going to be like
the next after the next and the next after the next.
Oh yes, for quite a long time. Hopefully.
You, Daniel, have to get ready for the karaoke party.
Yeah, yes. We're waiting only for you. We're only waiting for you, so you're the only missing piece for us to go to karaoke, finally.
So, see you.
Yeah, I will see you.
Bye-bye.
Lots of books and discussions at www.lingvistov.ru.